Good morning, folks. That's Bobby McCurry behind me. Say hi, Bobby.
Hello, folks.
Say hi louder.
Hello, folks.
Big boy voice.
Morning, folks.
Warm up the pipes.
All right.
We're tired and a little punchy. I will be heading out soon to head to St. Luke's Church for prayer and then back to the streets of Wimbledon. Today is July 3rd, 2013, Wednesday. And have some interesting news to report. We've been holding on to this news for a little while till all the appropriate people were notified. And if you haven't been notified yet, that doesn't mean you're inappropriate people.
You're inappropriate people.
Well, Bobby says you're inappropriate people. So we'll work on his people skills later today out on the streets. What day was it, Bobby? What day did this happen?
I don't know. What day is it today?
Today's Wednesday. Is it Monday?
Monday.
So on Monday, July 1st, the team was out in front of the Center Court Shopping Center in downtown Wimbledon and preaching as we have been preaching. I decided I was going to preach out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, where the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica about the need to abstain from all forms of sexual immorality. And so that's what I preached about. The fact that people are in sin and violating God's word and his law by engaging in sexual immorality, both heterosexual immorality and homosexual immorality. As I was preaching, a lady walked by, I would later learn, with her aunt. She heard me say that homosexuality is a sin. And she turned, glared at me, and told me to F off. And I asked her why she was being so judgmental and that I would love to dialogue with her. She walked into the shopping center. A short time later, she came back out, got on the phone, called the police. The police arrived lickety-split. I would learn that the police station is just a short 5-minute walk from where we were preaching. And I was subsequently arrested for violation of Public Order Act, Section 5. The words that the police officers used was that I was guilty of using homophobic speech that could cause people anxiety, distress, alarm, or insult. Tried to explain to the officers that there was nothing homophobic about my speech because I'm not afraid of homosexuals, that I love homosexuals enough to want to bring them the truth of the gospel. Well, that didn't work, and so off to the police station I went. It was a most unusual arrest in that I walked side by side with the officer to the police station unhandcuffed. Very strange. But I was, in fact, arrested. I was taken to the station. I was booked, photographed, fingerprinted, had a DNA sample taken to compare with their crime database, and I was placed in a cell. And I spent 7 hours there in jail. Bill Adams and Josh Williamson worked the phones very quickly. They obtained an attorney for me by the name of Michael Phillips. Michael Phillips, in addition to working for his firm that he is with every day, he also serves with the Christian Concern, which would be Great Britain's version of, say, ACLJ or the Alliance Defense Fund. And after some time, he was able to get down to the station. We met, we talked, we prayed, and then it was time for the interrogation by the detective. And it was surreal because I was interrogated about my faith in Jesus Christ. I was asked if I believe that homosexuality is a sin. I was asked what portion of the Bible I was reading. I was asked that if a homosexual was hungry and walked up to me, would I give them something to eat? I'm hoping that we'll be able to get a hold of the recording of that interrogation. The world really needs to hear it, not just here in Great Britain, but in the United States as well. The Lord did some amazing things, absolutely incredible things, through this process. After the last two questions of the interrogation were, do you believe that you have done anything wrong? My answer was no. The last question was, if you were released, would you go back out there tomorrow and do the same thing? My answer was yes. My attorney and the constable, detective, walked outside of the interview room to talk. My attorney came back in and he said that my answer to those last two questions basically sealed the deal, that they were going to go forward with prosecution, that I would be in jail likely for 24 hours, which was the most they could keep me incarcerated for this kind of offense. And then I would appear before a magistrate the following day, and that there was a significant chance that the judge, while I would be released from jail, would order me to remain in the country until the trial was completed, which could take 4 to 5 months. And then I was taken back to my cell, where I prepared myself to spend the night. Throughout the time that I was incarcerated, I was singing hymns. I had a cell to myself. It was about a 6 to 10 foot cell. Had a squat toilet in it, a concrete bed, no sink of any kind. And there I sat. I worshiped the Lord. I spent time in prayer. I had asked if I could bring my Bible with me, but because there were metal fasteners on the Bible, I couldn't bring that in because of the potential of damaging jail property, I guess, with graffiti. Not unreasonable. Not unreasonable at all. I knew that they could hear me outside the cell. The cell was monitored by closed caption television. And so, with a voice loud enough for them to hear, but not so loud that they thought I was trying to create a disturbance in the jail, I proclaimed the law and the gospel in the cell. After the interrogation was over, I asked my attorney if he could get a Bible for me. And they did have a Gideon's Bible there in the jail. And so that was provided for me. And so as I started what I thought was going to be a long night in jail, I went to the book of Acts. I found a great deal of comfort in Acts 1 through 5, particularly chapters 3 through 5, always has been one of my favorite narrative passages of Scripture. Needless to say, I found some corollaries between what Paul and John, or Paul and Silas experienced, what John and Peter experienced. Paul and Silas would come later in the book of Acts. And then I put my mattress down on the concrete bed, laid down, and I actually started to doze off. I didn't think I would be sleeping at all, but the Lord gave me a great deal of peace. Quite frankly, a peace that surpasses understanding. As a retired police officer, knowing what life is like behind bars for those who commit crime, it was uncomfortable to be there. But I had a peace about me. About an hour or so after the interrogation was over, time now was about 11 p.m., the detective came into my cell, and I was expecting to hear what I was told would likely happen, is that the detective would write his report, file it with the inspector there at the station, who would then determine that there was enough evidence to forward the case to the Crown Prosecutor's Office, and I would then stand before a magistrate to enter a plea for those charges the following day. Instead, the detective came in and said, "The inspector has decided to release you with no further action." Utterly amazing. All the prevailing wisdom from the detective and my attorney said there is no way I was going to be released. But I was. So the jail got back on the phone with my solicitor, my attorney, Michael Phillips, a dear brother in Christ, who again prayed with me and prayed for me before the interrogation. I knew I was in good hands. And he came back to the station after dealing with some other prisoners. I was released a little after midnight and headed back here to the Vandermeer's home. Bobby stayed with me throughout the night in the sense that he stayed in the station lobby. He was prepared to sleep there. My partner in evangelism and now my partner in crime. And by God's grace, I was released with no further action. Today, we're heading back down to that same place, Bobby and I, where I was arrested. I'm planning on preaching on the passage of Scripture that deals with forfeiting one's soul. For like the United States, England has forfeited its soul. England is losing its soul, and the church is doing very little about it. Now, I have been so very blessed to meet... Sorry for that little hiccup, folks. I inadvertently hit the stop recording button. Sorry about that. So, where was I? Well, Bobby had stayed with me throughout the night, and I've met a lot of genuine believers here. Obviously, we're staying with a wonderful Christian family, Tony and Sally Vandermeer, and their two beautiful little boys, Alistair and Isaiah. We have met some dear Christian brethren in various parts of the city at various churches. And so there is indeed a beautiful remnant of the Bride of Christ here in London. But the church at large has basically abdicated their responsibility to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying country, mainly out of fear of reprisals if they dare to speak the truth in love. So we're going back down there today, and there is an extended purpose behind it. Andrea Williams, who heads up Christian Concern, the organization that provided me the great legal representation by Michael Phillips, is going to join us down there at the same location where I was arrested. We are not going to protest. I am going to preach. They want to video that for use for a press release. For use for a video, brief video documentary on the incident. And then Andrea Williams and her team are also preparing a letter that I will sign describing the incident. And it is going to be sent to every member of both houses of Parliament. You see, in the next couple of weeks or so, Parliament is going to make a decision regarding same-sex marriage for England. And then it will go to the Queen. The Queen, who professes to be a Christian, and there's no reason for me to question that. She has expressed her faith in Christ publicly many times. But the Queen, according to law, can basically veto any law passed by Parliament. It's been generations, I believe, since any member of royalty has ever done that. So she is going to be in a very tenuous position between faith and her role as queen. And so we need to be praying for her. And so Andrea Williams and Christian Concern are hoping that a letter regarding this incident and a lot of publicity regarding this incident will help to sway members of the British government to not put in place the debaucherous, idolatrous, blasphemous practice of same-sex unions. So that's where Bobby and I are going to be today. I told Andrea yesterday that I am not planning on preaching about homosexuality. Not that I'm going to avoid the issue, but I'm not going to preach about an issue simply because it's a hot topic issue and there's a video camera going, and they would be helpful in the fight. I preach based on what I'm reading in God's Word that day and what the Spirit of God, I believe, puts on my heart. And today it's going to be that passage on what does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he forfeits his soul. And the emphasis is going to be how Great Britain, like America, has forfeited the soul of the nation. So I would greatly appreciate your prayers. We're going to be heading out here in about a half hour or so. And I do have video of the entire open air and the arrest. Christian Concern has asked me to hold on to that and not publish that until they've had an opportunity to get things lined up, to get the press release done and what have you. And so I'm following their wishes on that. But as soon as I can, we'll be posting that on my YouTube page, and you can judge for yourself how hateful I was that day. But again, that interrogation that I was subjected to was an interrogation based on my Christian faith. I was interrogated because I was a Christian. It was, again, it was surreal. And it's coming. It's coming to the United States. Make no doubt about it. The day is coming when Christians will be arrested, not only for what they say, but for what they believe. So keep us in prayer, and we'll try to keep you posted. Have a blessed day.